want to stand and say with the Lord in prayer, we pray. Blessed Lord, we thank you for this gracious invitation to us as sinners to come around this table, sinners yet saved by that matchless grace. And how we thank you for that great love that has been revealed to us. We thank you for the reminder of it again as we come around this table. We thank you that it is, Lord, a table of love divine, all love succeeding. How we thank you for that love that has come down from heaven to this earth. How we thank you that we can trace that love from the crown, Lord, to the cradle, and from the cradle to the cross, and from the cross to the crown. How we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who freely, willingly lay down his life for us. And we do thank you that we can rejoice in a present risen Saviour who is here with us today. And we thank you that we're not commemorating, Lord God, simply someone who died many years ago and that was the end of it. But we thank you that we are worshipping a risen Saviour, one who has conquered death, one who has brought life and immortality to light through the Gospel. And because he lives, we live also. We thank you for all that the cross achieved. We thank you that it wasn't defeat, it wasn't failure, it was all triumph, it was all victory. And we thank you that by faith we have entered into the fruits of that, Lord, victorious work. And we thank you that we can indeed rejoice, Lord God, that we are among those who overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of testimony. We do pray, blessed Lord, that you would open our eyes again this afternoon as we draw near to Calvary and as we partake of these emblems, that, Lord, the wonder of it all may come, Lord, home to us again and dawn upon us as never before. Help us never to forget, Lord God, and help us, Lord God, to do this until you shall come. Cleanse us from our many sins, we pray, and help us again to see the heinousness of our sin in the light of the cross. And help us to realize again, as we've sung, that it was our sin that held you there until it was accomplished. So, Lord, we receive our worship and grant that as we partake by faith, so we may receive you, our risen Saviour, and be strengthened and built up in our holy faith. We ask this in that precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Just like to read some verses from the first epistle of John. In the fourth chapter, John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And in the preceding chapter, chapter 3, we have a tremendous statement in the 16th verse, one of the great 3:16s of the Bible. 1 John 3:16. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Now, this is the most significant statement from the pen of the Apostle John. He says, "By this we know love." The implication is that apart from this, we would never know what love is. We would never grasp the nature and the essence of true love, let alone experience it. By this, we know love. Now, the world today would believe in the importance, the priority of love. People everywhere are talking about it. And even the Beatles back in the 60s were strumming away, "All you need is love. Love is all you need." But the question is, what exactly is love? What is the nature of true love? There's a great deal of confusion in the world about it at the present time. The world tends to confuse love so often with lust, with sensual indulgence. other people you love popularly, there's a kind of chemistry between two people. You talk about falling head over heels in love and the hearts beating fast as you meet this other person and this chemistry takes place. It's a kind of a slushy, romantic, sentimental feeling which is often here today and then gone tomorrow. Others think of love simply in terms of philanthropy and a person who gives of their substance to help another. But what exactly is real love? I think it was on Valentine's Day that, watching the BBC 6 o'clock news, the film crew went around the streets of London and they were asking people that very question. And they said, what exactly is it that you're celebrating? What is love? And you know, hardly any of them could give a satisfactory definition, an explanation of what love is. I wonder if I put you on the spot this evening and said to you, what is love? I wonder if you could give a satisfactory answer. One of the best definitions I've ever come across is that love is self-giving for the benefit of others. It's self-giving for the benefit of others. That's the very nature and essence of true love. Love is all about sacrifice. It's about giving. Lust is the very opposite of love, because lust is selfish. It's self-centered behavior. Lust says, me, 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 I want. But love gives. Love is self-giving. It pours itself out for the benefit and the good of others. Love is gentle. Love is kind. Love is the most selfless thing in the universe. Love is giving. You see, love is not a mere emotion, a mere feeling. Love is not words. Some wonderful words have been spoken about love down through the centuries. And the lyrics of pop songs and so on have been taken up with this theme of love. And sometimes people fall in love with love. But John says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in actions and in truth. Love is active. You see, love is active mercy. It's self-giving for the benefit of others. And I think John would agree with that definition. Because he says here, by this we know love. And you'll notice that he doesn't actually define love. He doesn't give us some philosophic idea of love. He does something far greater. He shows us the greatest demonstration of that love. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. Who is this he? It is none other than the Lord of glory himself, the eternal Son of the living God, the very maker of the heaven and the earth, the one who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Love, says John, is perceived in sacrifice. It is self-giving. Love leads a person to lay down their lives for the benefit of others. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's human love at its greatest, at its highest demonstration. But you see, divine love surpasses this beyond measure. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did not lay down his life on that cross for his friends. It was for us. For us. For those who were vile, wretched, sinful, and unclean, rebels, those who were at enmity towards God and towards Christ, those who hated him and despised him, and who continually said, away with him, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us. He saw from eternity the very worst sinners, and yet he loved us just the same, and he freely, willingly poured out his life for you and for me. In this is love, says John, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. But John doesn't stop there, does he? He tells us that there are implications for you and me regarding this. He says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Challenging words. I once heard a minister stand up on a Sunday evening, and he said that he had been very challenged by this statement of the Apostle John, and he had asked himself, would I be willing to lay down my lives for you? He looked around the congregation, pointed out certain individuals, would I be willing to die for you? And he concluded by saying, well, he hoped so. He hoped that the answer would be yes. But I don't think that's what John is saying here at all. John's not referring here to some hypothetical situation. He's not asking us to be willing to do something if push came to shove, which probably we would be never asked to do. He's talking about a present daily duty. He doesn't say, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. No, no, he says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In other words, this is something that we need to be doing every day of our lives. Putting the needs of others before our own. Pouring out our lives in humble, sacrificial, loving service for the brethren. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, this is the true response to Calvary. That's the response that the Lord is looking for this evening as we gather around this table. As we partake of this bread and wine, He does not merely want us to go away thinking, well, how wonderful the Saviour's love is. Thank you, Lord, for your love to me. But He wants us to do likewise and to be willing, day by day, to pour out our lives for the benefit of one another. It's interesting that when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church concerning the abuses of the Lord's table, he reminded them not only of the fact that in the Lord's table there is a celebration of our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also pointed out that in the supper there is a commemoration of the unity of God's people and of our fellowship one with another. He said, for we, though many, are one bread and one body in Christ. You see what he's saying there? When we partake of this bread, it's not only a reminder of our Saviour's physical body that was given for us at Calvary, but it also symbolizes the mystical body of Christ, the Church. We, though many, are one bread and one body in Christ. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let's say that grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God,